人生为什么会让人做那么多或者说那么难为难的这个两难选择？如果一个环境这种两难选择太多了，它不是我们的思维能力有问题。我们看这个电视剧的这个潜伏了什么，经常里面的主人公的这个选择是要么做烈士要么做叛徒，你说这种选择是合理的吗？哪个选择其实都不是合理的。怎么来解决这样一种道德两难，把这个社会给改造掉，改成一个不那么经常出现这种为难选择的一个社会。谢谢大家。
这个非常感谢思军教授的这个评论啊，但是我的感谢不作数，最主要的取决于桑德教授是不是感谢啊。这因为我觉得他这个评论已经是很犀利了，但是离我的预期还是很低的。下面我们更期待这个万俊仁教授啊。
正南院长啊，这个不允许我们讲英文，但是我觉得对我的老朋友有点不恭敬，我应该首先感谢他今天做了一个精彩的报告。我曾经阅读这个麦金泰尔的时候啊，获得一个印象，他说这个做道德哲学最好的方式就是学会叙述，就是讲故事 narrative means a storytelling。 那么很长时间呢我不理解这句话，这个去哈佛的时候在那个 Memorial Hall 听那个散道教授讲正义的时候我理解了这句话。今天呢我再一次加深了对这句话的理解。谢谢 Michael。 那么Michael 今天给大家做了一个很精彩的报告，这是他的那个惯有的风格，就是讲故事啊，从故事中啊把你们绕进去。实际上啊，这个因为我是一个伦理学家，所以我想把这个故事啊往学理上拉回来一点。实际上Michael 讲了一个什么问题，在西方伦理学或者政治哲学领域里面，人们对一些道德问题和哲学问题啊采集的方式主要有三种。一种是功利主义的方式，也就是价值目的论的方式，因此他强调这个要算计，要均衡，要计算利弊得失。那么第二种方式啊，就是康德的方式，是道义论的方式。那么这种方式啊，强调道德行为的正当理由，就是你依据什么东西与此这般的做。那么 Michael 显然不满足这两种方式，为什么？这两种方式的终极背景都是自由主义，而 Michael 多年来就致力于反省和批判自由主义。那么这个批判呢是非常深刻，大家知道这个自由主义在西方是主流的这个观念意识形态 ideology。 那么对这样一个主流的意识形态做出一种内在的批评反省呢，没有足够强大的理论力量是不行的。那么 Michael 是其中的主要干将。但是我的问题是这个，我提两个大的问题啊。因为今天我是伦理学家，赋予同情心，我不能让站着的同学站得更长了。那么一个问题是关于这个 Michael 的，他实际上想把他的理论作为第三条路，所谓他的第三种 approaches 啊，第三种 approach。 这个我认为有一个问题，就是说按照这个 Michael 的这个书这个演讲稿啊 What is justice， 还是按照他今天讲的，实际上 Michael 没有告诉我们按照他的这第三条路如何让我们明白什么是正义，没有给出答案。具体的说，用 Michael 的这个理论，比如说要考虑，或者说正义啊与这个人的养成的美德有关，与人的对共同体的认同有关。那么即使有这两个 points， 那么按照这两个 points 如何去解决 Michael 所说的那个life boat 或者那个火车的问题，那个呢实际上 Michael 还是没有告诉我们什么叫真理。我感觉到在 Michael 讲故事的时候，他实际上就是应该，我觉得 Michael 应该重新考虑柏拉图的说法。其实 justice 更多的关乎于不是人的德行，而是人的身份、角色、品格，以及人在整个社会秩序中的地位。所以大家读柏拉图的理想国，你会知道 justice 在柏拉图那里更多的是一种秩序，而不是一种 personal 的 virtue。 这是我是算一个评论也算我和Michael 的一个讨论第二一个问题呢，就是我想尽力这个巴结一下邓院长，我要严厉一些，就说Michael 其实在整个报告中用了三个 case study。 那么在我看来这个大家知道 case study 有一个最大的毛病，这是现代研究的一个好处，就是它能够以典型把某种观点呢展示得非常充分。但它的毛病是什么，就是当这个 case 本身是具有极端性的时候，它在我们的生活中间是例外的情形，而不是正常的情形。那么按照这种例外情形，这种 exceptional case， 它如何解决我们在通常生活中遇到的正常的问题？而正义恰恰不是一种例外的情形，是关乎我们的生活次序，关于我们的利益关系，是每天每时每个地方每个时代都经常遇到的。那么对于这样一个普遍的永恒的主题，我的疑问是，仅仅靠 case study 这样这种例外情形的极端推理能否解决问题？所以在这一点上，我更多的倾向于这个我的另外一位朋友 Jack， 就是 John Ross， 对不起了 Michael， sorry。
好，我们下面请桑代教授做一点简短的回应。
And I'm still recovering from the first one. I would like to thank Professor Tong and Professor Wan for those very, very illuminating and powerful commentary. And I will just try to respond to a few of the very many strong points that were raised. First, by Professor Tong. He asked if those four men in the lifeboat were the last human beings on Earth, then what would I do? Wouldn't I favor killing and eating them, I suppose, one by one until the last one survived? Because if they really were the last human beings on Earth, and if the highest value is the preservation of human life, then not only would Professor Tong, I suppose, kill and eat the cabin boy so the three could survive, but if some time passed and they weren't rescued and they were still hungry, then the two should kill the one. And if two remain and they weren't rescued, I don't know, which one would kill the other one? maybe it would be decided by who is holding the knife, which suggests that justice often competes with questions of power. And I suppose my answer to the question, what if these were the last four human beings on Earth, would killing and eating be defensible then? Would it be just? I think I would say not necessarily. It would depend on who they were and what they were like, and whether they were worthy, back to Jen's point, whether they whether humanity was at that moment worthy of preservation. So I think we would need to know more, which takes us to questions of character and worth and moral judgment. Now, Professor Wan made a good point. I was emphasizing virtue as if all that mattered were personal virtue. And Professor Wan was right to suggest that I don't think it's merely the third approach is not only a matter of personal virtue, I agree. It is also a matter of assessing the good life, really what the third approach stands for. Virtue is just shorthand. Virtue is an abbreviation for a larger idea, which is found in Plato and Aristotle. The idea that justice, that we can't figure out the meaning of justice without first reflecting on the nature of the good life, on the nature of the human good. Virtue is only one aspect of the human good. It suggests personal virtue, and I agree, that's too narrow. I don't mean to limit it to personal virtue. What I really want to suggest is that the first two approaches, the utilitarian and the Kantian, are inadequate. I agree with Professor Wan. And that the third approach is really one that says, to reason about justice, we can't avoid reasoning about the human good, about what makes human life worth living and caring about. That's my argument. Now, in some ways, some have called it a communitarian argument. It's communitarian in the sense that it rejects a certain kind of individualism. It rejects the kind of individualism that the utilitarian invokes, where all that matters are individual preferences, regardless of their worth. I reject that. And it also rejects a certain kind of individualism associated with the Kantian or Rawlsian view and Nozick's view, because those views depend on the idea that to respect persons is to respect persons in abstraction from the particular forms of life and conceptions of the good life that give their life meaning. So in that way, my view is communitarian, but it is not communitarian in the way of saying that the majority decides what justice is. The majority can be wrong. The government can be wrong. Any particular group of people who have certain values can be wrong about what justice really is. So I am not a communitarian if to be a communitarian is simply to say justice is whatever the value is defined by whatever values happen to prevail in a particular community at any given time, or according to whatever the government says, or whatever the majority may say. I reject that. So it is a view that is critical of certain excesses of Western-style liberal individualism. I have been critical against that set of views, but in the name of a vision of justice that reasons from conceptions of the good life. Now, Professor Tong says that I've been presuming that there are better and worse answers to these moral dilemmas. I do presume that. I don't, and it's a slightly different thing, I don't presume that there is necessarily a single right answer But to engage in moral argument, even of the kind we have here today, presupposes the possibility that some answers are better than others, more persuasive than others. To engage in an argument or in a dialogue or in a debate presupposes the possibility that one of us might persuade the other. There's no guarantee in advance that we'll agree. There's no guarantee in advance that there is a single right answer. And yet, we have to presuppose the possibility when we disagree, as we did here, let's say, about the lifeboat case or about Kant versus Bentham. Even to make sense of the disagreement and the reasoning and the argument, we have to presuppose the possibility that one of us could persuade the other, could have a better argument. Otherwise, we are just hurling words at one another. And that's not really what moral argument consists of. So in that sense, I think Professor Tong is right. I do presume that there are better and worse answers. I don't think we can make sense of moral argument or disagreement or deliberation without that presumption. Maybe this would be it. So I haven't addressed all of the very interesting criticisms, but I've tried to touch on at least a few, and perhaps we can continue this discussion, which is really only just a beginning. But I'm eager to hear from questions and
comments. 我们提问题，范大教授，刚才你我想问一下，你要是把那个故事啊，这里边故事两个角色稍微换一下，比如说这个权杖，这三个活下来的都是有德性，而且呢，他们都去追求，在活下来以后都去追求好的生活，这个时候你还赞成不赞成他们三个人杀掉那个小孩？如果你要不赞成的话，我觉得你和罗尔多、康德的这个最后嘴观点没有，他们都是强调尊重每一个人的应得的权利。 在尊重每个人的自由的权利基础上，你可以追求善，可以追求这个德性。但是如果你为了德性而去杀掉一个没有德性的人，或者像你说的那个，把他变成一个，把它变成一个，那最重要的，还得把它变成一个，那最重要的过程。那么你允不允许这个过程，这个德性建立在对一个小孩，一个没有德性的人的信仰的小孩的这个虐待上？我想看看您的回答是怎么样。
My answer would be no. And I think the reason that the city of happiness, well, it's a reason that I think I would go back to Jenny's point, that if there were a city of happiness, even a city of virtue, that depended on one terrible injustice, it's not clear that that really would be a city of virtue. It would be a city of virtue founded on a crime or on a sin. Now, you might say, and I think this may connect with the earlier question, that when we think about nations, not just individuals in a lifeboat, these questions may seem to take on a different meaning. But I think that the stories that we discussed, and remember, we were just beginning a conversation, an exploration. So we were starting with small stories. And as Professor Wan said, extreme cases. But what the extreme cases and the small stories about individuals in a lifeboat can force us to do is to clarify the reasons for the positions that we take, so that when we turn to the nation and to relations among nations and among people, we can bring to bear the conceptions of justice that we begin to work out in these small cases and extreme cases. So I do think that justice applies to the relation among nations as well as to the relation among individual persons.